You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
The mics are on. The table is set. We are ready.
Hey guys, this is Darshan.
This is James.
This is Joanne.
And I'm your host, Brad, and today at the breakfast table, we are all gathered to discuss our theater experiences. So, as such, we have been going to screenings for a couple of years now, and we've been going to movies for a long time, so we know exactly what we're looking for when we go to the movies, and the kind of experiences we expect, and the kind of experiences we actually get. Of course, those are sometimes the same, sometimes they are not. But today, we are broadcasting live with Podcast Detroit in Royal Oak, so we can go over all this. So, starting us right off with what we expect when it comes to a theater, because we all have different expectations here. I know that, Darshan, you go into a theater with what expectations?
I got a few expectations. I mean, it's kind of interesting what movie theaters are doing nowadays. In regards to trying to increase more people to come to them, they're adding alcohol as an option. They're serving food to you in a variety of different ways, including at your seats. Some places have recliners now. Some places you can actually pre-select your seats, you know, before going to the theater. There's a lot of different conveniences that they're adding, and I think those are the things that are bringing me back, especially those reclining seats.
I can honestly say seats are one thing that I hate at most theaters.
Really?
Well, the new reclining seats I like.
Okay. Yeah.
But then we have theaters like some of the old AMC theaters where you sit in the seat and you're just like, this feels like it was made in the 80s. This doesn't feel comfortable.
The seat hasn't been changed since the movie theater was opened originally like 20 years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
Me, when I go to a theater, I kind of expect to have like the non-traditional tiered platforming. I'm a short guy. So anybody who like comes up and is like at least six foot that sits in front of me just makes it to where no matter how big that screen is, I'm just going to see the back of their head. So my biggest, like the biggest thing that I look for, it doesn't matter. It could be uncomfortable seats. You could cram 100 people into a single theater as long as this, like, the elevation of each row is high enough for me to see over the person's head who isn't Andre the Giant or Yao Ming. I'll give those ones a pass. Then I'll have a good theater experience. I mean, realistically, the only thing that I care about is every like 3 seconds.
The crunch and munch.
Yeah, like, and we'll get into it later when we see people bringing things into the theater. But like, there are certain noises. They're like, I get popcorn, I get Icy's. I get the occasional candy, but sometimes you hear like microwaves going off and just random noises that shouldn't be in the theater. But I honestly am very lax when I go into a theater. You know, each theater has almost its own personality to it. Like if you go to the Maple.
Sometimes, each theater has its own personality as well as each movie.
Yeah.
May have its own personality. And that's one thing that I look in a theater as well is when I go to the movies and I sit down at my seat before I get comfortable and stuff and sit down. I take a little head count at like, you know, the diversity that's going on inside a theater because I'm all about diversity. You know that, Brad.
100%. Yeah. You're the one person in a movie theater that'll go across looking at the posters and go, don't care about that one, don't care about that one, don't care about that one. Oh, there's actually some color in that poster.
Yeah, totally. I think that having diversity in Hollywood is a big deal, especially to me in particular. And you're starting to see it become more prevalent, and it shows in the crowd that's seeing these movies as well, you know. So it's always good to get, for me at least, an insight on the types of people that go to see these movies just by, you know, poking around and seeing who's around you.
Oh, yeah. And you're seeing a lot more of that, especially in, like, the Metro Detroit area where with movies like Black Panther coming out, I know a lot of people in Metro Detroit are talking about this movie because it has an African-American as the lead role. That's a big deal around here right now.
Not only the lead role, but it's almost the lead cast. There's, what, one or two Caucasians in it? So it's predominantly a person of color movie. Like, it's it's an identity by itself, and it separates itself from everything in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but almost everything in, you know, all the movies that we've been seeing.
The cinema in general, pretty much, because, yeah, it's become a huge thing in Metro Detroit. People that I've never heard of talk about movies are excited about Black Panther.
Got more reservations than Civil War did, yes, in regards to ticket sales, ticket reservations. So this movie is going to probably be the highest grossing film of all time for Marvel.
I'm curious, until
Infinity Wars comes out in May.
Right.
But that goes to show something.
You know? I'm curious how it's going to change things, because Deadpool completely changed how people view R-rated movies, because there was a long time that every movie had to be PG or PG-13 to be considered a success. Deadpool changed that. And that changed it for every genre, except for horror. Horror was always like, we're going to throw an R rating on it regardless of how it is. But every other genre, we're seeing more R-rated movies now since Deadpool. So after the success of Black Panther, which we pretty much can guarantee is going to happen, I wonder if they'll change the landscape a little bit more going forward.
I also want to know, like, the drop off of interest for this movie. Whether it's, I'm really interested in the character, and I follow the comics, or I'm really into the MCU, or the people who are just watching it because of the identity of the character. Like, and then after that, will you see the support of that character in Infinity War? Because you saw him in Civil War, but let's say, because you had Sam Wilson as Falcon, and he's probably going to take over as Captain America. When that happens, is it going to happen again? Because, for Civil War, it took getting Robert Downey Jr., Chris Evans, Tom Holland, and I cannot remember Black Panther's actor's name, save my life. But all of them, in order to break, what was it, Avengers? To beat Avengers?
I think it was like Civil War 2, right? Civil War 2 did better than Avengers, I think.
Or Civil War.
Yeah.
Civil
War, yeah. Whatever.
So, and Black Panther's on track to beat Civil War. And it doesn't have the star cast. It doesn't have Iron Man and Captain America. It's literally just Black Panther and whichever cameo they throw in. I mean, it has Captain America in it, but we don't know how much of a role he's going to play.
I mean, just looking over the cast, Michael B. Jordan as the villain Killmonger, and then Andy Serkis as Claw are the only like big names that I recall from this movie. And then the person that's playing Black Panther is Chadwick Boseman. Yep.
So, Joanne, what do you look forward to in the movies?
Immersion. So theaters that don't dim the lights all the way drive me insane, because all I can stare at the entire movie are the little aisle lights. Big screens and sound also play a part in that. So the larger the screen and the darker and the louder it is, obviously the more immersed you are in the film. And that's what I go for. I want to go for an experience, not just let's kick my feet up and relax for a little while, because I can do that at home.
So pretty much MJR's epic experience is your grand theater kind of.
That wasn't the best experience I've ever had in a theater, actually.
Really?
Yeah. The best experience I've ever had in a theater was when we went and saw Dunkirk. That was probably the most immersive movie I've ever seen.
That one, I think, falls more on the movie than the theater itself.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure. But that's the level of immersion that I want in every movie.
Yeah, it's a combination thereof of the production value that goes into the film itself, as well as the environment that you're watching it in, you know.
We also watched that in Chicago, though.
And so it was a huge theater.
The theater was like a 6-story theater.
Yeah.
We just got done playing Pokemon Go. We were traveling. Like, that probably is not just the theater experience, but that's like the personal experience of I'm traveling.
Yeah. I mean, it could be, but like, that was just like the best theater experience I've ever personally had.
I mean, we also had a good experience. We went to Disneyland in California.
That was awful.
No, but we almost saw Inhumans. We almost paid like $23 to go see that.
An actual like movie theater premiere of it.
We almost did it, and we were like, nah, what if it's bad? And we went and saw Annabelle Creation. But like, it wasn't a bad experience, but like going and seeing a movie that you might not have enjoyed in a place that's different than your normal AMC 30 or, you know, MJR Partridge Creek.
I'm a fan of just going to different theaters just to see them. Mm-hmm. I've been to Los Angeles, and I've been to the Chinese theater, and I've seen a movie there. I saw like I think it was like Anchorman 2. It was a, you know, it wasn't that great of a movie, but I wanted to go there and wanted to see it because, you know, that's where all the Hollywood actors and actresses go when their premieres happen. I just wanted to see that experience, you know? So. Right.
See, actually, when I was in New York City for Comic-Con, I went to see Blade Runner 2049 at the Empire AMC Theater in New York City, which is supposed to be this grand theater and everything. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, a bunch of crazy escalators
and
stuff.
It's a very nice theater, and that added to the experience there because that was the first day I was ever in New York City. I was like, I'm going to go see a movie. And then just went to this theater and was like, I like this place. I should come here more often.
I was waiting for you to say, we should get one in Michigan. We just need a bunch of skyscrapers.
We should get one of these cities right here.
One thing I want to do one day is see like a – or go to a movie theater in like a foreign country. Not like, you know, Canada or something like that. Like, you know, like Europe or Asia or something like that, and just get an experience of what they have, or maybe see, you know, an English movie. And is it dubbed? Does it have English subtitles? Is it the other way around? Is it English with, you know, native language subtitles? I don't know how that all works, but I kind of want to see –
I mean, I know they do that because
we saw The Foreigner.
The Foreigner. That was I was trying to remember the name of the movie.
Yeah,
but
you accidentally saw The Foreigner. I remember this story, and it had Mandarin subtitles.
Yeah.
But it was an English movie.
It was an English movie, and then it had English subtitles. Yes. And they spoke Mandarin.
It was great. So throughout the entire movie, we sat down, the movie started, and immediately we were all just like, I think we're in the wrong theater, but I don't want to find out which theater we should be in.
You know what's, when you're saying you want to go see other theaters, like in other countries, can you imagine the 4D theaters too?
Are those even still around?
I think so. Yeah. They're like, they're making a comeback.
Are they?
Like, there's specific theaters that offer these 4D experiences. I haven't done
For those that don't know what 4D is, I think they usually just put a subwoofer underneath your seat to kind of give you more shaking and immersion and, you know.
Well, no, that's D-Box.
That's D-Box?
4D is.
4D is the one that spits on you from the seat in front of you, isn't it?
Yeah. So like if.
Like air droplets or something like that spray on you or like.
Scents and stuff like that. But like they pair it with the movies. They're really big in theme parks and zoos.
I know one movie that they really pushed it with was A Bug's Life.
Yes.
Had a 4D experience in some select theaters. And then I don't think I've seen it in Michigan ever since.
The only thing that I've probably seen in 4D was Honey, I Shrunk the Audience at Universal Studios back in Orlando in the 90s. You know, and it sprayed water on you and did a whole bunch of stuff. I remember that. It was pretty cool.
Lilo and Stitch one did. The ride had a 4D experience to it.
I'm pretty sure in Disney's Animal Kingdom, they have a 4D thing for A Bug's Life still.
Yeah.
It would surprise me if they didn't have something there.
I'm a sucker for that kind of stuff, though. That stupid, cheesy, like, this is totally touristy, but, like, you got to try it. Like, can you, like, because the whole point of watching a movie is to get immersed in it, to be sucked into the story. And what better way to be sucked into the story is for Stitch to, like, jump on your shoulders and then burp, and then you smell chili dogs. And like that's what happened on the ride, and it's just stupid things like that. Like, might be unpleasant, but it's cool.
It's an experience.
Exactly.
Yeah. I can do without the bad smells. The rest is fine.
I'm trying to think. I want to say the Lego World over at the Great Lakes Crossing Mall. They have a 4D experience. I don't know if it's a movie or a ride, but I know I've seen like the posters and everything for 4D experience.
There's actually a ride at the – I thought it was just a store and you walked through like a Lego museum.
It's a couple things.
Hmm.
Yeah.
You're right about the zoo thing. I think they had like a dinosaur film there.
We do. Every time there's an Ice Age – I love the zoo. If you ever get a chance, go to the Detroit Zoo. But they have Ice Age there all the time for some reason. Every time there was a new Ice Age movie, there was a new Ice Age experience for it, and I think it's the Ford Theater, or it's called the Ford Educational Theater there. They usually have like three or four different movies.
I went to another theater in Atlanta last year. It was called Movie Tavern, and they actually serve food to you while you're at your seat. And it's cool because like the table that they serve it to you has a little ridge over it, so you can't like spill your dishes. It was kind of cool, and I ordered a plate of nachos, and I found it interesting because I was eating these nachos, and I was like more infatuated with my meal than the actual movie. I was, what was I watching? I think I was watching like Power Rangers, the new Power Rangers movie when it came out. And I was just into my nachos. They were really good nachos. And it's kind of funny. It's like I felt like it was a trick because I knew that I would come back later on and probably watch this movie again because I was eating my nachos and I was too into it and not paying attention.
I think you're very low on their chain of thoughts on for that. Like,
but that's how they get you, you know?
I doubt anybody in that theater was like, we should serve them nachos because they're not going to pay attention to the movie if they're eating nachos.
I remember when Palladium Theater used to have this thing where you could pay like a set price and you get like a huge buffet before your theater and you get to go to a premium theater with like leather seats and, you know, reclining seats. And this was like decades before all that happened.
This is the one that's down in Bingham Farms.
No, in Birmingham.
Birmingham? Yeah. Okay.
And they would load these people on pasta. I used to work at a theater. One of my first jobs was at a theater. And they purposely loaded him with pasta because it would get them sleepy so that they would be more enticed to come back and watch the films again.
Yeah, because that theater still does like the Sunday morning family breakfast and a movie kind of things. Because I saw that for a couple screenings like for Moana and stuff.
And that sounds amazing.
If they did that for something that wasn't just a kids movie, I would totally go for that.
Moana was a great film. I
don't mean against Moana. I'm just saying I don't want to be the solo guy surrounded by families eating breakfast and going, I can't wait for this movie.
That's how you get put on a list.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's why I'm saying non-kid movies I would totally love for them to do.
What do you think of all the different ways that movie theaters are trying to bring people back into the theaters, you know, with alcohol, with serving food in the seats, all that stuff? How do you guys feel about that?
I can say there have been a couple times where I've gotten to the theater early and I've hit up the bar at the theater while waiting for the movie to start. You know, that's an experience I never thought that I would have going to the movies or going, hey, I'll meet you at the bar at the theater. The what now? Yeah, the bar at the theater.
The bar at what AMC, I think it's called MacGuffin's.
Yes.
I thought it was pretty funny when I learned what that word actually meant.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, hey, that makes sense. But on the flip side of that whole, like, you know, it's a positive thing. It's a good thing that I see myself doing. Like, when they were like, oh, cool, you can introduce alcohol into your movie-going experience. Like, I've run into people who are just obnoxious. Personally, like as a human being, that is part of their personality. Get a little alcohol in them and they may be braver to do more dumb things. Or maybe they were quiet and reserved beforehand and now all of a sudden they have this courage to just be a terrible human and ruin the movie for you.
Just be loud.
Speaking of, I can give an example of that. When we went and saw, oh my gosh, I'm forgetting the name of the movie.
Lego Ninjago?
No, not Lego Ninjago. One. No, it was more recent. It was... The Gary Oldman one.
Oh, yes. We went and saw Darkest Hour.
Darkest Hour.
Oh.
Those two drunk girls stroll into the theater, cut in front. There are only five people in the theater at this point. They cut in front of our row with the four of us. They go all the way up to the back row where there's one guy sitting in the corner, cut in front of him, and then sit down. And then they giggle and talk for like 5 minutes before we yell at them.
Because they thought the movie had been playing for like 20 minutes, 25 minutes. And that's after the previews. They come in, we're like, yo, dude, can you calm down? Can you stop? The movie's going. And they're like, no, it's not. It's the previews. Like, this is Gary Oldman on the screen in his full prosthetic.
They came in late. They didn't know what's going on. Yeah. They're doing their own thing. I got you.
Because they were drunk.
Yeah.
And, like, it's good. But there's always – it's a duality. There's always good. There's always going to be bad with it. And, I mean, like, if you don't have the alcohol in the theater, people are just going to bring it. So you might as well capitalize on it.
Yeah. I will say, I did end up going to the bar before seeing Lego Batman with one of my buddies, and we probably had a couple drinks more than you should before going into a theater. Luckily, when we got into that theater, we were the only two people apparently wanting to see Lego Batman at 11 p.m., so we had the theater to ourselves, but I think that made that experience all the so much better.
See, if you have the theater to yourself, that's something entirely different.
See, I'm still waiting for that to happen with us going with MoviePass and just being the only people in the theater. Because that always has a better experience. It's
that
like
happens for me from time to time. I'm the only one there. Or me and a friend are the only ones there. Like, Not too often, but it does happen.
It becomes your own private viewing, pretty much. And you can talk and you can enjoy it and everything like that. And then when people, you know, walk into the theater, you're like, oh no, our fun time's over now. Yeah. You got to watch the movie in silence because I don't want to be a terrible person.
Yeah. Oh, the worst is the lottery of which where the person is going to be sitting. Is he going to be sitting next to you? Or, you know, if it's one of those like predetermined assigned seats, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's the worst.
You have the same experience when you go and park your car. Like, I personally park my car in the back of the lot, away from everybody else. You go in, you do your business, you come back out, and what do you know? Someone's just like, man, that spot right next to that car, surrounded by empty parking spaces, is like, this is the one that I gotta go. And you know, that's probably what that person's gonna do in the theater, too. They're like, I'll feel close to these people. I don't get social interaction outside of this.
Maybe they're sitting there because they know a secret. I should sit there, too.
Yeah. What is your guys' personal preferable seat down to, like, the row or, like, the alignment of the projector?
See, I know you guys know exactly where mine is when it comes to the epic experience because I know how to jump the seats to get there before other people for screenings and everything.
Mine's always the middle, like middle. So middle row, middle seat, all day, every day. And I will purposely go to the movie theater 20 to 30 minutes early just to nab that middle seat. Or I will, like, you know, pick a movie time like an hour ahead of what I'm actually going to do and make sure I get that center seat. That's more important to me than the actual going to see the movie itself.
That can make or break a movie.
That can
for
make
you.
Or break the movie for me, for real. It's all about that center seat. I just don't know. And sometimes it sucks because you go to these theaters and some of these theaters, that's the most worn out seat too. So you got to be careful about that, you know?
Damn. And even switching to that other seat that's next to it, to the right or the left, like it just changes the perception of the movie. Like the worst movie, the worst experience I've ever had at a movie theater was when I went and saw The Force Awakens. And it's not because it was The Force Awakens. It was because it was The Force Awakens. And I was I think it was the real D. So it was the real D, the glasses. I'm like, okay, cool, whatever. And I got stuck first row, not that big a deal, whatever, all the way to the right. Literally last chair, and I'm like, cool, dude.
Like worst seat ever.
The depth that I can see in this is now not only on an angle, but it's on an IMAX screen, so it's already curved. Like, I get to see this really nice, you know, 20 foot of the corner, and that's it. And then everything else is just out of focus. It's like, why even bother with those extra seats? Like, who sits there? I want to meet the person who's like, this is my favorite seat. I always get, like, I want to find the person that's Darshan, but for those seats.
For those terrible seats that he's like, oh man, nobody's picked my favorite chair yet.
Yeah.
Right here.
Dude, because if you go in with those low expectations, you will always have them exceeded.
See, I think it's those people that sneak in and just don't give a crap. You know, I'll take what I could get. Nobody's sitting here.
But
I'm not paying nothing.
At least with that experience, you got to see that with a decent movie. I will say, The Force Awakens is a good movie. When I went to the screening for Transformers with Ferris, first off, again, 3D, we were in the very, very front row about, I would say, 5 or 6 seats away from the edge in the Epic Experience room.
Your neck.
That... I walked out of that theater in physical pain and emotional pain. I will walk out of a theater and take the loss on the ticket price before doing that again.
Yeah.
Because even when I saw Rogue One, good movie. I enjoyed it. But again, I had like middle front row seat to that one. It was, this is not good. I'd never want to do this again.
Do you guys remember camping out for tickets? Any of you guys ever done that?
Nope. I also grew up in a town where we had one theater within 20 miles.
That's fair. I camped out for Episode 1.
Gosh, I don't even remember the last movie I camped out for. Maybe like Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Are you talking camped out as in like you were waiting in line for 5+ hours to get the ticket or for the movie?
Both, I guess.
Because I've never done it to get the ticket, but I've waited 6 hours in line before to see a movie.
I waited to get the ticket. Yeah, I think.
I mean, like, I've gotten the ticket and waited in line for a few hours.
Yeah.
To see the movie.
I can't remember why. I think there was something special that was going on, and we waited. We waited like a good like 16 hours before we could get this, because I think there was no way to like. I think it was like a contest or something. There's no way to get or enter the contest with a digital purchase. You couldn't go to Fandango or whatever it was at the time. I don't even know what they were at the time. But so we waited. We had a tent. We had the whole kit and caboodle in 1999. It was great. That was like it's part of the experience, you know, when you had midnight releases for games, when you have those, you have a bunch of people who are super hyped for the movie. The movie could be literal garbage. And all these people are excited to be there. You know, that almost adds to the intensity of the entire, like, experience.
Yeah. I mean, for the screening for Suicide Squad, I was in line for 4 hours for that movie of disappointment. You know, twice as long as the runtime for the actual movie, I waited in line for that movie for just pure disappointment all around. But at the same time, in that line, surrounded by people that were also waiting that long period of time, everybody's excited for it. You know, when I didn't care for Batman versus Superman, I was surrounded by people that were just going, oh my God, that was like the greatest movie ever. I'm excited for this one. I want to see what DC keeps doing and everything like that. And even though I wasn't as pumped for Suicide Squad, just being in that environment got me more like, oh my God, this is going to be a good movie. I can't wait to see this movie. This is going to be good. To the point that I sat in my seat and, you know, up until 5 minutes into the movie, I was like, this is going to be amazing. I'm excited for this. This is great. And then obviously it was just downhill from there.
Yeah. Literally the title card comes up, Suicide Squad. That was the peak. That was it. And it just kind of, oh, wait, that's Will Smith. Will Smith, it goes up a little bit, and then, you know, it goes down. Margot Robbie goes up a little bit, and I was like, who are the rest of the people? Nobody knows.
But, yeah, it does add to the experience based on your surroundings as well. So if you have a bunch of people that are hyped up for this movie, like going to see the screening for Deadpool was – or it wasn't a screening, but it was like that first midnight showing of the movie where it was just all pure fans. And seeing that movie with that, everybody got every joke. Everybody was having fun with it. You know, you could tell that the atmosphere in the theater itself from everybody being a fan of Deadpool just added an extra factor to the movie. And then when I saw it later on, like after kind of it died down a little bit, started doing like the two showings a day, I went and saw it again because I loved that movie and I wanted to see it again in theaters before it left. And the theater atmosphere was completely different. You know, people didn't really laugh. You know, it was still a pretty full theater for a movie that was already out for 2 months. But it was a completely different experience just with the people that were in that theater. Because you had like the older crowd and the people that are like, I heard this was a good movie, I'll go check it out, and just not be able to follow anything of what's happening.
He's not a superhero. He kills people.
I think the premieres are meant for those people that are fans.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's what you're going to notice when the movie gets premiered the opening day are those people in line that are the fans of that, you know, superhero or character. And that's the cool part is you're able to talk to those people around you about, you know, your favorite thing ever, you know. And I've noticed that, you know, I actually – in particular, I like a quiet theater. Like, I actually scored a lucky occurrence when I saw that new Star Wars movie that came out. I saw opening day, and it was all adults, and there was no children. And they weren't, like, crazy avid fans, and they weren't, like, clapping the whole time. And, you know, after the credits, they were clapping. And, you know, when that that Death Star that, like, blew up and it was completely silent? Mm-hmm. You know, that one scene? Everyone was just completely just shut up the whole time. And I was just like, oh, this is awesome. You know, I scored a lucky break in that experience, and I do like those experiences where, you know, the audience does behave like they're supposed to.
Jumping off of that one a little bit with the clapping part, who was the first person to go, yo, this is an okay thing to do. There's a thing happening on the screen I approve. I got to clap to show everybody around me that I approve of this moment.
That's a good question.
But that's terrible, and they need to stop.
Yeah.
Like, laughter is one thing. Clapping is something entirely different.
Or when people cheer because somebody comes on screen, it's like, you knew they were here. You right. saw the same trailer I did. They're why you're here. They're why I'm here. We knew he was going to show up.
Like you can't – they can't hear you. So, like, people go do that when, like, you go to an actual, like, play.
Mm-hmm.
And, like – so you go to your son's play, whatever, you see your son on the screen, you cheer, whatever, you clap. Because nobody actually cares. It's like a little kid's play, whatever.
I think it's just as bad but as, like, people using their phones on, like, full brightness.
Oh, that's the worst. Yeah. I scream at people.
I had a guy, I was watching, what was I watching the other day? Oh, Hostiles. And this person next to me was using their phone the entire time and just completely took away from my experience and I didn't know what to do. And in fact, the person, they're starting to do this more and more where, like, security comes in with, like, a little light stick and just waves the stick. And the person actually told this person to put the phone away. And then they just brought it back as soon as the security person left. And it just pissed me off and I didn't know what to do. So after the movie, the two people were cleaning the theater and I asked the ushers, I was like, hey, so what do you guys do in this sort of situation where, you know, you have these people that are annoying you with texting and, you know, using their phones. And they're like, well, you can ask one of us and, you know, we'll go ahead and tell them to stop. But in most scenarios, you're just better off just asking a manager and they'll take care of it for you. But don't intervene with telling them to get off their phone. That's something you definitely should not do. You should just contact the employees of the business and have them take care of it for you because it's safer than sorry to deal with it that way.
Yeah. When to take that a step further. Yeah. When I actually went to see Moana in theaters, it was a little bit after it had come out and everything like that. The people next to me, it was like a little family, and I guess it was the first time they'd ever been to a movie theater, I assume.
So because you had Bebe's kids like hanging out like all loud and rowdy?
Not only that, but the parents were taking photos of their kids during the movie. Oh, so man. You just see the flash go off. And the best part is about – this happened like two times and I went over – and I kind of like nudged them on the shoulder and went, stop. No more of that, please. They continued going. So I got out of the theater. I got one of the usher people and was like, hey, they're taking photos in the theater. Make them stop now, please. And then I went back to my seat. The usher person came out, you know, looked around the theater to try and find them. I just raised my hand and just pointed at them to make sure that they knew. And after the usher, like, talked to them and left, the lady just went, like, looked at me and went, wow, really? And I just went, yes, really, yes. And luckily it stopped after that, thankfully, because I don't know what would have happened afterwards.
But you lose 20 minutes of the movie just dealing with that.
Yeah. Right.
You lose the immersion experience and everything that was around it. It's just like You got to weigh your options sometimes. Is it worth it? Is it not worth it to deal with it? You know? And I hate being in that situation. I think that's the worst about a theater.
See, I think my buddy's idea, which he came up with the concept of bringing Nerf guns into theaters and just trying to hit people's phones, you know, with little suction darts whenever they use them. I would totally do that if it wasn't for the fact that those suction darts cost like $5 for a pack of 10.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure James is throwing popcorn at people who have their phones out.
Yeah,
slightly cheaper alternative.
That is a slightly cheaper alternative. as accurate though.
You got to watch out who you hit with that. Sometimes you don't want to get in like some heated argument with somebody.
But if it's a crowded theater,
I'm also like, if you ever watch Watchmen, there's a quote. Rorschach says to Dr. Manhattan when Dr. Manhattan's like, you need to stop. You can't tell them. You can't tell the world what's going on. And he literally looks at Dr. Manhattan and says, never compromise, not even in the face of Armageddon. If you're being a jerk in the theater, I have no problem going up to you and being like, you're a jerk. I got two things. You can stop or I'll go get the manager. So I kind of do the two paths. There's a high road and a low road. You can either go the high road, do it yourself. We can leave it at that. Or you can take the low road. I already told you this. I'll tell them I already told you this. And then we can go from there. I've gotten people kicked out because, you know, you're not supposed to use your phone in the theater. Not only because you're not supposed to do that, but like all I have to do is say, you know, it looked like they were filming. Boom. As soon as you do that, gone. It don't matter. Because when we go to those screenings, right, they have it's certain screenings. They have equipment.
They make you lock up your phones.
Yeah. And, like, they have special, like, equipment to see. Yeah,
infrared cameras.
Exactly. And, like, I've gone to a couple of them. I think one of them was a Marvel movie or something. And I had to actually give them my phone. They gave me a manila envelope. And then when I went and picked it up, I had an iPhone 4 at the time. And I got an envelope with two iPhone 5s in it. And I was like, whoa, dude. Like, this is not mine. And it kind of made me a little wary. So whenever I go to screenings, like, it almost makes me feel like I should leave my phone somewhere else. And, like, you know, if you really need to check your phone, like, either get a watch and, like, just dim it down and just, like, kind of, like, do this, or just leave. Like, go. Stand. You don't even have to, like, leave the theater. You can just stand in that little hallway that most of them have for, like, a hot second, and then you're good.
Yeah, that's one thing that I love about screenings. I've actually seen somebody get kicked out of a screening. It was for which one? Popstar, the Lonely Island movie. When I went to the screening for that, somebody like pulled out their phone, you know, to check a message or something, and instantly, like some kind of like teleportation method, the usher was there and just bringing them out of the theater as soon as the light popped on. Like, they are quick on that.
And I wish they had that during regular movies.
I wish they had special movie premiere or kind of showings where it's like, because I know some MJR locations have it where nobody under the age of like 17 is allowed in during these special screenings. And it's not because of the rating. It's just because of a politeness thing.
Yeah.
You know,
and because I would. Teenagers are.
You guys ever heard of the movies. Alamo movie theaters? It's I think it's a chain that's
they're
owned
known
by,
for
Mark
kicking
Cuban.
People out.
Yeah, it's they I'm reading it their policy right now. It says we have a zero tolerance for talking or cell phone use of any kind during movies, and we aren't afraid to kick anyone rude enough to start texting their friends during a show right out of the theater. We also hate it when other movie theaters make you watch advertisements when you've already paid to see the movie, so we're vigilant about never letting ads hit our screens. We even turned down our PSA for great causes because we don't want anything to disrupt your experiences in the show. It goes on and on, but it's cool that some movie theater companies are adopting the strict culture of no phones or no texting or talking within the theater, and they're not afraid to enforce them.
I wish I had the audio clip ready for the Alamo Draft House when somebody that was texting in the theater called them to complain about getting kicked out. Look it up. Just Alamo Draft House texting call or voicemail, and it'll come up instantly. It is glorious. It's this girl going, I can't believe you wouldn't let me text in your theater. And you kicked me out and stole my monies.
Oh, yeah. She left a voicemail to, like, customer support.
Yes.
And they it was a really nasty voicemail about, you know, them as a company and how they treated her. And they actually used that criticism in a commercial.
That's amazing.
That they did.
They posted it
to show that, you know, we have a zero tolerance for this kind of stuff. We don't allow this kind of thing.
Yeah. They took her voicemail that was insulting them for kicking her out. And they put it on YouTube, subtitles and everything. And then in the end, they went, good, we don't want you back.
That is amazing.
I wish there – is there an Alamo Draft House in Michigan? There's
oh,
one
no,
out in –
they're way out in the south, I think.
They're, okay, I was going to say. Here. I think there was one theater that was like partnered with them out in Lansing or something. Because I remember hearing
That's
about them around.
Over there in Lansing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I know like when you think of a theater – most people, literally like 90% of people will think MJR, AMC, Regal, Imagine. And in other states, obviously, you'll have your equivalents. But like what – do you guys miss the like – and I guess Joanne can attest to this one. Like the almost the mom and pop theaters. Like the drive-ins, the like.
I miss the dollar theaters.
Yes.
You remember those?
Yeah.
Like I had an AMC Abbey growing up and I had like the dollar theater – on DeQuinder or 12 Mile, now that's the MJR. But those were the movies that came out maybe like 5-6 months after the fact. But
the ones
were,
you could get on DVD at the same time.
But, you know, you just want a comfy seat to sit in and check out. Maybe you couldn't get it, you know, online or on DVD, but, you know, just at the cusp, but you still wanted to see it.
Or you maybe know? you needed a place for air conditioning for the
yeah,
day.
Yeah, it was a hot day, you know. You're in the neighborhood. You got a couple hours to kill, you know. I've missed those days, you know, growing up, those were the things to do.
Yeah. You used to be able to like get dropped off at the movie theater and just
Who needed a babysitter?
Exactly. You know? You could go there with like $10 and see 10 movies.
Yeah.
Or $1 and see 10 movies. I don't know. It depends on how shady you are as a person.
I remember the Dollar Theater being a bowling alley that I would go to out in Chesterfield.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's still there, but I don't think it's a Dollar Theater anymore. They closed the theater part of it. And it's just a bowling alley now.
No, there's still the one theater.
Is there?
In there. That's probably the worst theater I've ever been in, actually. That thing's awful.
See, I remember going there as a kid because it'd be like, you know, mom drops us off with like three other people and we're just like, cool, we're going to go bowling and see a movie. And they got this little weird arcadey thing in there. Yeah. And, you know, that was a day.
Yeah, our quote unquote local theater was not a Dollar Theater. I've actually never heard of that up until you said that.
Oh.
It was a mom and pop kind of theater, and I'm pretty sure the owners were some shady people who are into some illegal dealings.
Probably.
So the theater was a front for something.
Of the pharmaceutical kind. Okay. And there were literally three theaters, and you would not see movies that like released everywhere else until like a week later because they wanted to see how well the movies would do before they purchase it.
Mm.
And screen it or show it. So everybody else was seeing everything. And if your parents were cool enough to drive you 45 minutes to go to the next closest theater, then you got to see the good stuff. It was terrible. I hated that theater. I will never go there again.
I would walk to AMC 30.
You bring up a good point, which is these movie companies are tightening the chains on these mom and pop theaters. Mm-hmm. I mean, take, for example, the latest Star Wars movie that came out, one of the contractual agreements is that whoever plays this theater or movie in their theater is required that they play this movie for a month straight.
Really?
So, yeah. You take a small mom and pop theater that maybe has, you know, one or two screens. Maybe they're in, you know, North Dakota someplace. And I've been to those theaters before when, you know, I've traveled. And they're forced by the movie companies to play this for a month straight, knowing that, yeah, they'll capitalize during the first couple weeks of the movie. But, you know, people are going to stray off from viewing it, you know, a couple weeks down the line. But yeah, they're still forced to play it in their screens.
And that would cut in half any potential revenue that they could get.
Because
instead of being able to show, you know, at that point, you'd be able to show two movies, potentially. You know, a different movie each day, two different movies each day. You're stuck with one movie different each day and Star Wars.
Yeah. So it's a little bit of a chokehold that you're seeing more control from the movie studio companies having on the you know, movie theaters themselves on the ability for them to play these movies. It's kind of sucks.
It does.
Yeah.
And on top of all of that, you have to consider the fact that you only find these theaters really in small towns. So anybody who wants to see these movies is going to go see it in the first like 2 weeks anyway. And then it's just going to be done.
Yeah.
The town's not interested anymore.
Yeah, and they're forced to play it for, you know, 2 to 3 more weeks. And they're not going to see any revenue from it.
No.
How do they check that? Like, how do they keep tabs on that?
On the revenue for the movie?
No, like mom and pop shop, like.
Sure. They probably just do like a kind of scan of what their showings are on their website or whatever.
I don't know if there's some sort of like, you know, playback relay system on the projectors.
Oh, everything's digital now too. They probably, you had to input a code in order to play a movie most times.
Really?
Yeah. So when a movie premieres and everything like that, from my understanding of how it was at least 2 years ago, it might have changed by now, but they would get like a giant disc that they would have to put into the computer,
yeah,
like
a hard drive.
Yep. Yeah. And then it would ask for a password, and the studios wouldn't send the password for the movie until like 2 minutes before the show would even start. So this way they couldn't show it early on accident or anything like that, or do a private screening for people without the permission of the studio.
That was another thing that small mom and pop theater I'm speaking of did. They did secret screenings for their employees.
Well, I mean, you see that a lot with AMC and MJR. You have their employees saying, yeah, we get to see it a little early. And I mean, even at GameStop, we would get codes for games.
When my first job was at a theater, we would see it a couple days before. And that's usually when they're calibrating the screens and stuff like that for the theater and the actual movie. So we get to see that actual screening when they're calibrating. it gives the employees a better idea of what to tell their customers on if the movie's good or if the movie's bad or what they think. So it gives people an opinion that, you know, they can use to sell their customers. But one thing I want to bring up that, you know, we've all thought about is like, I want to bring this up, sneaking in stuff.
Yeah.
So, Darshan, do you want to tell everybody the game that you play with movie theaters?
Yeah, so my friend and I, we try to see what we can sneak into a theater and get away with it. Just, you know.
Just cause.
It's always food. So my friend brought in a foot-long sub from Subway before.
Okay.
I've seen that. I, you know, just the other day I brought two tacos in from Del Taco and some potato cheddar bites. And one time, what was that? I saw Proud Mary like a couple weeks ago. Yeah. I didn't even know this was possible, but the lady like two seats over brought an entire one of those $5 box.
Hot and ready, like Little Caesars?
No, not hot ready. The $5 box from Taco Bell that you can get. But like box and all and drink and all. Like how did you sneak that in, lady? Like,
It's crazy because every time we've gone to a screening, I always take my Switch with me. My Switch comes in a backpack. My backpack's not very big. So I bring it in. Every single time they'll say, hey, you know, we don't allow backpacks in the theater. And I go, okay, cool.
While Joanne
has a ThinkGeek bag of holding.
Huge
It's
purse.
A purse. It's huge. Bigger than my backpack. But they'll allow them to bring it in. Now I get that the majority of mass shootings happen and it is a white male.
Well, let's not get into that, okay? Yeah. Let's just talk about the fact that, okay, yeah, There is a safety concern. There is. I mean, we had, yeah, unfortunate incident happen with, what was it, The Dark Knight?
Yeah.
That was several years ago.
Dark Knight Rises. That was the one.
Was it?
Yeah, because it was the one after Joker. Yeah. Yep.
That was, you know, a few years back, you know, granted. But has there been much of a change in security since then in theaters? I really don't think that's the case. You know, yeah, we didn't let the terrorists win, which is great. You know, there's no theater security that's going on like TSA style. But, you know, I still haven't seen an improvement in the security aspect of these theaters and what they're trying to do to protect us. I still see people bringing in backpacks and sneaking in their own food. And I don't know if it's a gray area or if it's acceptable or if it's not or what they think about it. You know, people are still sneaking in other theaters after they've seen their movie. Like, this is just ongoing, and I don't know, are they just turning a blind eye?
I think the only time that it's effective or it's affecting their judgment is when that is relevant. Like I said, because of the James Holmes shooting, they stopped people from being able to dress up.
Cosplaying
at the theater. And that was huge. I did that for all the superhero movies, pretty much anything that came out. So when Amazing Spider-Man 2 came out, I asked MJR, I was like, hey, can I wear my spandex suit to go there? It was like the 7 p.m. showing, so kids were going to be there, yada, yada, yada. I used to be part of a charity organization that did cosplay for kids and charity. And they were like, no, it's a safety concern. I was like, you know, it's spandex, right? Like, it's still a safety concern. We don't know what you could be bringing into the theater. And I was like, if I can bring anything into the theater in a spandex suit and a dancer's belt, which is basically a thong for males, you know, I would probably not be sneaking them into the theater. I would be going into government buildings. But I can't because it's spandex. So I literally was like, cool, you know, I'm not going to go to MJR. I went to AMC and I would call them beforehand and ask. Mm-hmm. AMC, I was like, hey, I just talked to MJR. Start it that way. I just talked to MJR and they won't let me dress up as Spider-Man to go to the Spider-Man premiere. And they're like, oh, okay, just if you're asked to take off your mask, can you do that? It's like 100% because my mask was detachable. And that is probably when I started never going to see MJR.
Oh, that's where it stems from. Now I know.
Little silent protest there.
Basically, I've told them I never pay for anything at an MJR. Aside from MoviePass, I guess I'm technically giving them money. But, you know, all the times that we have gone to MJR, it's usually through for a screening or something.
Yeah. Which, in those cases, we already have the security detail there pretty much making sure that it's a good experience because they're trying to protect the movie at that point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the Deadpool screening that I went to, at AMC. There were people dressed up as Slade Wilson. Of course, not Deadpool, but the in-joke was there for the people that were there for it. And he had the full mask and everything. Fantastic cosplay. I haven't seen the guy since then. I keep waiting to run into him at like a convention somewhere because he did an amazing job. He has to do something else.
Wait till he comes to Justice League.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
But then, got into the theater, full get up and everything, and he just walked in holding the helmet. He was fine the rest of the time.
Yep.
Same with people dressed up as Deadpool and everything during that.
Stormtroopers.
Yeah.
Like, it's funny, but those are the stigma is only relevant when it's in the media, in the news, like the whole clown thing, pretty much anything like that. Like, it was really big after the fact, and you have people who still have that remnant of fear in there. But the majority of the time, people who dress up to go to the movie theater, they don't want to cause harm. They want to make the experience better. And the whole he dressed up like the Joker thing, like he had orange hair. I don't know what color hair people think the Joker has, but it's definitely not orange. He had a trench coat, which the Joker does not have a trench coat. At least
I mean, here's the thing, though. You don't even have to cosplay to sneak something in.
Like, exactly.
You can sneak anything in. It's awful what you can get away with in the theater. And I'm not saying that. I guess it's crazy. Like, you could get away with so much. It's just incredible.
Right?
Like, there's nothing that's changed since then. You know?
Anything, it's significantly easier to sneak something in when you're not cosplaying.
When you're not conspicuous.
And, like, so therefore, everybody who is cosplaying should just be let in automatically. No security check. You're wearing tight spandex. You don't have a gun in your belt. You don't have a belt.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that you can walk in with your giant purse while James is being harassed.
In with, like, full McDonald's bags and sodas in my purse.
I think we've all, and our listeners too, are a little bit guilty of sneaking something into the theater and you know, consuming whatever it is. But, you know, it surprises me and it astonishes me that if you can get away with a snack or something like that, it could be something that could be something greater, you know?
Actually never snuck anything into a theater.
What?
Nah. I also didn't drink until my 21st birthday. So I'm really
well, hello, Mr. Goody Two Shoes.
I know. But I have, like, when she's brought in her purse and I brought in my backpack and they asked me to take my backpack, I've looked them in the eye and say, okay, what about her purse? And, you know, they have nothing to say. And I was like, you realize this purse is larger than my backpack. And they've got nothing to say. They're just like, it's just policy. And I was like, I get it. I get that it's policy. But, like, there are certain things. Like, if you got stopped at an airport while you were with me, I would literally scream at them.
I can't do that. I'm brown. I'm sorry.
I get that it's usually for safety concerns. But then if the next brown person behind you gets randomly stopped, like, it's no longer about safety. And that's another thing that, like, these people behind these counters who are managers at an MJR, they almost put themselves on a pedestal. Like, I am saving the theater world by stopping backpacks from coming in. But then they don't realize, like, you know, oh, I can bring all of that same stuff from a backpack in a purse. Maybe even more in a purse or in a sling bag. Or even, like, if you wear a hoodie. If you can bring a foot long in your pants from the subway, you could probably get some type of, you know, weapon in there. Like,
yeah,
that's
what I'm saying.
It's crazy.
You get my point.
Yeah.
It's astonishing.
Just go back to drive-thrus. Everybody has their car. You get a speaker.
The drive-in theater.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
I've actually never gone to a drive-in theater before. I always wanted to, but I haven't done it.
We can go find one. We'll find one somewhere.
I think there's one in Dearborn.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw Casper.
Henry Ford.
Yeah.
I'd be up for going for one sometime because I've never gone to a drive-in theater, but it's always been one of those things in the back of my head is I got to do that sometime.
You do have to make sure you have a fairly comfortable car, which in 2018, having a comfortable car is pretty easy. But I saw Casper. I saw Casper in theaters and in a drive-thru or drive-in. I don't know why I keep saying drive-in or drive-thru. But
go on.
I saw it in a minivan, and it was awesome because, like, the seats reclined and everything. Everybody had a good time. And then you get people who have pickup trucks. If you have a pickup truck, you just toss a blanket in the back. Obviously, park it in reverse. I can't think of the word.
Backwards.
Back in. There we go. And it's You see, actually, a lot of those drive-in theaters, they have them specifically for, like, Jaws. They have them for Jaws, but they'll have them on a lake. So you can watch Jaws in the lake.
When I was at Six Flags, they had Finding Nemo in the wave pool going. So you could be, you know, floating in the wave pool while Finding Nemo was playing.
Oh, that's cool.
That was pretty fun.
They also had, what is it, something by Sundown, Terror by Sundown. It's the movie about, it's a killer. It's the basically where they got basically Michael Myers and all of them for, and they show that movie in the place where all of those crimes happened, because it was basically like one of those based on a true story. And they show it in the park where the killer murdered one of the victims by tying her to a tree. And like, it was a big controversy, but they would set up the theater, Slaughter at Sundown. That's what it was called. Slaughter at Sundown. And, you know, it would add to the experience of seeing a movie like that in that place. Maybe not the best, putting you in the best mindset, but, you know, going to see a horror movie like that kind of keep you on edge throughout the entire movie.
Yeah. I wish they did more of those kind of like special screenings. But yeah, that does bring controversy whenever they do something like that. But I love when they do those kind of things, because I completely forgot about the Finding Nemo screening that I went to see in a wave pool, but that was fun to do.
It's a cool thing, you know? Because theater and movies can bring the community together.
Having
a 16-foot inflatable screen in a park at your in the city, bringing the local community together, it's a really good thing in theory. It's bringing the population together. It's bonding people over something that, you know, we all could get along with. I think that movies are a great way to bring people together.
Yeah. I mean, they do that in Millennium Park in Chicago.
Well, mm-hmm. Even in Ferndale, I remember the road I would take to get home would be cut off because they'd put a giant projection screen there and play movies down off of 9 Mile in Woodward. So every time I would go home, I'd turn onto the street and go, oh, no, I got to turn around. They're doing a movie night tonight, because it'd always be on like a Friday night. So I'd be coming home from work going, I get to go home and got to drive around to get home now, I guess.
You could have watched the movie.
It'd always be playing like later at night. Like, it'd be them setting up, but they blocked the road off early. And I went to a couple of them. They were always fun. I want to say it was I might be getting this wrong, but Embrew was the company that was doing some of them, at least, which they're actually doing a couple events coming up as well for like pinball and stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of want to go. They used to have like an arcade there and stuff like that. I would check it out because it'd be within walking distance of my house.
Neat.
But yes. But there are a lot of different theater experiences. Those are just the ones we have had. Which ones have you had? Let us know on Facebook or anywhere pretty much that we're located. You can tell us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
Leave us a review with your theater experience.
Yeah. Leave us a review. Because we're officially on iTunes and Google Play now. So you can find us by just searching for The Breakfast Table or 8-Bit Waffles on either platform. And subscribe to us. You'll get instant updates whenever we update our podcast. Leave us a review. Let us know what you thought. And we might even read your review on the podcast, if I can say my words correctly. But with that, it is time for us to close up shop, turn off the mics, and head off. But before we do, the recommendation of the week is actually coming from me this time, with an app that Plex is actually coming out with called Plex VR, which Plex is already a home media streaming platform that you can use to watch all your movies from iTunes and Google Play and be able to watch it anywhere on any device. Now they have a VR app that'll let you watch it as if you're in your own home theater. Using either, I'm trying to think, it's called Google Imagine, I believe, which is the Google's version of VR box, like the cardboard box thing. It's the upgraded version of that. So you put that on and you can actually time it with your friends to all watch the same movie and talk to each other in it as well.
Yeah, so, it's pretty cool. Like, you could sit in a virtual room with, like, a couch, and you could sit with
you can actually see the other people,
yeah,
like, avatars.
Three different friends and actually watch a movie together on a virtual couch wearing your VR headset at a movie screen.
Yeah.
It looks like a giant movie screen in your VR headset.
Right, because the phone's literally right in your face.
Yeah.
And the – I can't remember who it was, but like one of the people that made a comment on the update from Plex themselves made the comment that people make a big deal about the size of the screen, but when the screen is literally an inch away from your face, you're not going to notice how big the screen actually is.
Yeah.
And it is an actual immersive theater experience that you can enjoy with people, whether they're right there with you or not. It's something I'm definitely looking to check out when I can get a VR headset, and highly recommend other people check it out as well if they can. But that is it for us today at the 8-Bit Waffle, well, at the breakfast table presented by 8-Bit Waffles. And we will catch you next week when we talk about fighting games, particularly the newest release, Dragon Ball FighterZ.